A very good evening to all of you. I give thanks to God that you are present tonight. Some of you are old-timers. Others may have just wandered in and perhaps feeling a bit uneasy, maybe new to the proceedings, new to the people. If you feel uneasy, take a look at me. All my brothers and sisters are draped in white, while I'm black. The thought hits me only when I was processing with them. So here before you is the black sheep of the family. So yes, although black sheep, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And through the grace of God, I'm here to bring His word to you. So whether old-timers or new to all this, it is my prayer that what I'm sharing from God's word will be a blessing to you all. Today is Maundy Thursday, a very important day in the calendar of the church. Churches all over the world will be celebrating today as Maundy Thursday. But what is Maundy Thursday? Well, the word Maundy comes from the Latin word mandatum. In other words, today, or mandatum, I fail to explain to you. Mandatum means command or mandate. So today is about a command. And why is it Thursday? It is Thursday because we believe that our Lord was crucified on Friday. And Thursday, the day before He was crucified, He gave this command. And that is why today is known as Maundy Thursday or Mandatum Thursday. What is this mandate or command that the Lord has given us? And this is clearly expressed to us in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. So this Maundy Thursday, the commandment that is given is about love, that you love one another. And straight away, we detect something strange, or at least I did. It is almost like an oxymoron, a contradiction in terms. Why do I say that? Because if you were to talk to many people out in the streets, perhaps you would believe in it too, they would say this. Love cannot be coerced. Am I correct or not? If you're forced to love, that's not love. And if that is correct, why are we commanded to love? It doesn't make sense, it seems. And yet here we have the commandment, new commandment even, that we love one another. So for tonight, this is what we want to do. We want to ask and answer the question, why is this a commandment? And then secondly, we want to ask and answer, why is this new? Is it really a new commandment? And then thirdly, why is it urgent, such that we have to mention it every year at Maundy Thursday? So let's start with, why is it a commandment? I said earlier, it's almost like an oxymoron. You don't command love, and yet we have a commandment. Maybe these are the answers. The first possibility is this. It is a command because by so stating, God is making us think about the essence of His commands. Essence of His commands. What do I mean by that? Love is the command. The command is love. When you reverse it, you see straight away what I'm driving at. By reminding us that the command is love, the Lord is telling us the essence of His commandments. That is, whenever God orders us to do something or grants us His commandments, it's not to make life grievous for us. Not at all. It is given in love. And this is what we Christians must always remember. His commandments are not given to be burdensome. They are given in the context of love. Yes, sometimes we find that challenging because of the situation we are in. But yet we have to insist. It is nonetheless given because He loves us. And you can talk to many veterans here who have gone through life and they tell you the same thing. They experience very soon that indeed the commands may be tough, but they were given in love. And this is how we should approach our God. So that is one possible answer. The second possible answer is this. If the essence of God's commands is love, then our loving one another fulfills His law. And this is what the New Testament tries to drive at. The true fulfillment of the law is not do's and don'ts. That's really not it. The true fulfillment comes when we love one another through our performance of the do's and don'ts. So loving one another fulfills the law. Now, yet one more answer. If you accept what I've just explained, then you may perhaps be thinking of this. Why didn't Jesus make it clear? What I'm really saying is that I want you guys to love one another to fulfill the law. Why state that this is a command? I come to my third point, and it is this. It is a command because it is adapted to our needs. I need a bit more time explaining this. The ideal is for us to love indeed what we do, and also in affection. You cannot do the deed coldly. But we all know that our affection goes through ups and downs, even between spouses. There will be moments when we don't feel that affectionate, when we want to distance ourselves from each other, right? This is true, like I said, for spouses and for friends. But when love comes as a command, the Lord is telling us this. We will commit ourselves to love, even if the feeling is not there, because that's our mandate. And as we act out in love, then slowly that feeling comes, that sense would come. In other words, we can face one another and say, even today, I don't feel like it. I don't feel very affectionate. I am committed to love you, to seek your good and your very best. So love is expressed as a command in order to adapt to our needs, our weakness, because of all our ups and downs. And in that regard, when we think of love as a commandment, we are supposed to be humbled. Lord, I am weak. I'm weak so often. But thank you for this reminder. Thank you for this mandate. And that's what the psalm reading was all about. If you recall now, our psalmist was challenged terribly. He has ups and downs, but he makes commitment. Even though challenged, this is what I want to do and I shall do. So that's why love is a command adapted to our needs. Two, why is it new? When you read the Old Testament, you will discover that the love commandment is already embedded in the Old Testament. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. It is there in the Old Testament. So in what sense is this new? Since in the Old Testament, the love commandment is found. Again, three possible answers. The first possibility is this. It's called a new commandment because the Lord now is renewing something. In other words, the people of God could have forgotten the importance of love, and now the Lord renews it and calls it new commandment. But that sounds a bit lame, I think. Yes, we cannot dismiss it altogether. So I press on to think of a second reason. It may be a new commandment because it is the commandment of the new covenant. You know very well when the Lord instituted the Last Supper. It was meant to show that this is the new covenant. And with the new covenant coming into place, now the Lord gives only one mandate, one commandment, and that is love. So love becomes the commandment of the new covenant. And because it is the commandment of the new covenant, it is the new commandment. Yes, okay. Looks like I'm playing with words. But more importantly, third, it can be called a new commandment because there is a new quality to the love. How so? Let's look at verse 34 again. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Yes, we've heard that before, but now comes that punchline. Just as I have loved you. That is the new quality. We now have a new reference point. The world speaks about love, thinks about love in different ways. But there is only one reference point for us as Christians. And that reference point is Jesus our Lord. just as I have loved you. And how did Jesus love us? Now we must go back to the earlier part of chapter 13 and look at the foot washing performed by the Lord. I don't have much time, but summarizing very quickly, this act of washing the feet of the disciples is an act of love. Now, the foot washing prefigures Calvary. So what Jesus did at the foot washing of the disciples is very similar in spirit to what he would do at Calvary on the cross. And not just that, because it prefigures Calvary, it helps us understand better what Calvary is. It's not just about Jesus dying for us, but in that death, he's like performing foot washing for us. So it is an act of love. But secondly, it is also the act of service or servanthood. In most families, and because of the ancient context, people wear what you call sandals. The shoes are not covered. So the feet will pick up the dust of the streets. So when they enter a house, the host would commission servants to wash the feet of the guests. Unfortunately for our apostles in chapter 13, none of their feet were washed before dinner. Maybe because nobody wants to wash it. After all, it is the duty of the servant. We aren't servants, we are apostles, so we don't wash. Too bad, we eat with dirty feet. And now the Lord, after supper, rose, took up the towel like a servant, and washed the disciples' feet. The act of service. That means at Calvary, when Jesus died for us, it is not just his act of love for us. It was also his act of service for us. That's how much he loves us, that he would serve us. But the third thing about the foot washing is also an act of humility. And now you understand why the apostles don't want to wash one another's feet. That was meant for the lowly servant. You know, I mean, I don't want to wash John's feet. Okay, James, John didn't wash James' feet, so on and so forth. Why should I? He won't wash my feet anyway. So nobody washed the feet. But our Lord took up the humble task and washed the disciples' feet. And that explained why Peter reacted the way he did. Because Peter has been much maligned. Sometimes he's like the punching bag of the church. We cite him as an example and we say, you know, don't follow Peter. He's terrible. Here, I think he got it right. If I were there, I would have said, Lord, you cannot wash my feet. In fact, in the original Greek, it's very strong. If you translate it literally, this is what Peter is saying. You will never wash my feet. Strong negation. Followed by the words, for all eternity. You will never wash my feet for all eternity. Because Peter understood that when the Lord stooped down to wash his feet, he was performing a humiliating act. How can the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the world, perform that act for Peter the apostle? And the Lord said, no, I need to wash your feet, otherwise you have no part in me. That's what the foot washing is. It points to Jesus' total sacrifice, total self-giving. And even if it meant humbling himself, he would give up his life for us. So this is critical. Some of us don't mind dying for the cause. Because if you die for the cause, in a blaze of glory, okay, worth it. But if you die in a humiliating way, most of us will shrink back. And that's what the cross of Jesus Christ meant for God. Not only the death of Calvary, but the utterly humiliating treatment of crucifixion. So that was how Jesus loved them. And now the disciples understand. This is how I am to love one another. One commentator put it beautifully. It is a new commandment, perhaps in this form. In the old, we are taught to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's correct. In the new, we are taught we are to love our brothers and sisters better than ourselves. Because the Lord himself gave himself fully for us, humbling himself to serve us.
And that's what the new commandment is. Loving one another better than myself. I'll play the servant role so that you can go on to serve the Lord. You know the kind of thoughts that cross through our minds when we think about that? So that's the new commandment. My time's almost up. I hurry on to my last point. Why is it so urgent today that year after year we repeat this? Let me suggest a few reasons. The Lord says in verse 35, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." So when they love one another, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples. In other words, the defining quality of discipleship is love. Those who know scriptures well, you would understand that in Revelation chapter 2, when the letter was sent to the church at Ephesus, that church that was described was a wonderful church, very sound, good doctrine, and strong, can take persecution, wonderful church. And yet the threat of the Lord is this: I will come and remove your candlestick, that is your status as a church. Oh, why? Because you have left your first love. In other words, even if we are sound, even if we dare to die for the Lord, if we do not have love, we will be showing the world that we are not the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because love defines discipleship. That's what the Lord said here. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. That's why it's so urgent. As disciples of the Lord, we fail so terribly. So we need constant reminders that we are to love one another better than ourselves. The second reason is this. You would notice before the love commandment was given, or the new commandment, verse 33, Jesus said this: "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come." The assumption here is that Jesus will be departing, right? He won't be around anymore. And when you connect this to verse 35, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples," the Lord is saying this. When I am absent on earth, people will know that my ministry continues and is real through you loving one another. And that's our mandate. The Lord is not physically here, but we continue His Spirit, His work, and people will know that He is still with us, blessing us, reaching out to people when we learn to love one another. And this leads me finally to what we want to do tonight. Our Lord's foot washing took place a long time ago. Today, we want to carry out foot washing again. Am I right? Is that true? Yes, okay. I didn't coordinate with them, so I wasn't sure whether... I'm sure in many churches, they would do that too. And our foot washing reenacts what Jesus did and reminds us of what that deed meant. An act of love, an act of service, an act of humility. So when we wash one another's feet, this is what will be happening. The one who sits and receives the foot washing receives love. That's critical. We learn to humble ourselves by saying we are not independent. We need one another's love. And we thank God for one another's love. So come down from our high horse, from our arrogance, and say, "I need your love. Thank you for loving me." So we sit and receive the foot washing. The one who performs the act pledges to love. "I want to love you. Yes, I may not fully understand. I may not fully reach the standard of the Lord, but by washing your feet, I am committing myself to doing better year after year in loving you. And as I make that commitment, I want you to pray for me." I find it tough because when I wash one another's feet, I'm saying I'm pledging to love you. But there are times it's hard. There are times when I say, "You should be loving me. Am I right? We look around at one another.
that rascal, how can I love him better than myself? If anything, I'll pray that he depart from this church and go somewhere else.
But no, we learn to love one another, and it's tough. So that's why when we wash one another's feet, it is a plea for prayer. Here I am, kneeling down, washing your feet. And in that act, I'm saying, please pray for me, that I will commit myself continually to love like the Lord would love. Are we dreamers?
Many people think religion, Christianity, are for dreamers.
Loving one another better than oneself, washing one another's feet, aren't we dreaming? Well, are we dreamers?
Maybe the answer is yes and no. We're not dreamers, not in the sense that we are trying to do something unreal, impossible. No, we're not. But we are dreamers because we're saying it is not yet. The ideal that the Lord held up to us is not impossible, but not yet. The day will come by the grace of God and through the work of the Spirit when we all will know how to love one another fully like the Lord has loved us. And that's the promise of God. That day will come when the Lord returns to earth again. But before that day comes, we encourage one another. Let's press on. Let's perform some deed, some sign, so that people out there would know there is a church that loves. Yes, the church may have many standards, may stand for many things, but behind all our stance lies love, and we love one another. Now, let me summarize. Why a new commandment? Because it is the mandate given to us, the mandate of the new covenant, and the mandate defined by our Lord's love. That's how we are to love one another. And with that, we can impact the world. Not to be famous, but impact the world in order to meet the need that many people would have out there, the need to be loved. You know how many out there are lonely, are frightened? They're really frightened because when people approach them in a loving way, they will say, out to scam me. Am I right? Out to cheat me. Yes, that's our situation now. But don't despair. All this would mean that if you do shine, you would shine gloriously. So let us now be the disciples of our Lord and learn to love one another. Thank you. The Lord bless you all. Amen.